DiscerningHearts.com presents Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors. I'm your host, Chris McGregor, and I am delighted to be once again joined by Dr. Kevin Vost, who has taught psychology at the University of Illinois at Springfield, McMurray College, and at Aquinas College in Nashville, Tennessee. He is author of over 16 books, including The Seven Deadly Sins, Seven Gifts of the Holy Spirit, The Catholic Guide to Loneliness, The Four Friendships from Aristotle to Aquinas, and Hounds of the Lord. With Dr. Kevin Vost, we go inside the pages of Three Irish Saints, published by Tan Books. Kevin, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, it's my pleasure to be here today, Chris.
I love this book, Three Irish Saints, A Guide to Finding Your Spiritual Style. How could you just pick three out of all those beautiful Irish saints?
That's the thing, and I couldn't completely resist. I will say at the end of each chapter, I throw in an extra saint because there are so many more. So I do feature like just a taste of, I think, maybe 9 or 10 other saints as we go throughout this book.
This one is so different than other books.
Yeah, well, it really is, in a way, it's like probably the most enjoyable book I've ever put together. But it kind of was fed by many different threads. A lot of different things came together when I wrote this book. And I'll just give you a brief description of what it is. The three Irish saints are St. Kevin of Glendalough, St. Patrick, of course, and also St. Bridget of Kildare. But the subtitle, A Guide to Finding Your Spiritual Style, I also try to use each of these saints as a special model for us of a special type of spirituality that might speak out to us based on our particular, our own personality style. So listeners get a sense of how it is constructed. The book, of course, has three major parts for the Kevin, Patrick, and Bridget. But within each part, for each saint also has three chapters, which I call the legends, the lives, and the lessons. Mm-hmm. Now, these saints lived mostly in the 500s A.D., and much of the information we have about them comes from these ancient legends, which are really amazing and fantastic. I mean, they're really intriguing stories. They build on the ancient Celtic past and their legends. So it's kind of hard to know, when are we getting straight truth, when are we not? But I try to present a first chapter in the spirit of retelling those old ancient lives. It kind of made it try to sound like they read, include all those fantastic anecdotes. Then in the second chapter on the lives, I would go in and see what modern scholarship has had to say about these saints. Mm-hmm. Where do these biographies come from? When were they written? What can we make of them? For St. Patrick's own case, I had the real treat of having two of his own writings that we actually still have, mm-hmm. his confession and his letter to Caroticus. So for St. Patrick, we can also hear his own words. Then in the final chapter, what I call the lessons, this is when I tie into that concept of the spiritual styles. And in general, we use Kevin as a model of a contemplative type person. Mm-hmm. St. Patrick is a model of what I call the apostolic style, the person who's a kind of a mover and shaker for Christ in a big way, who's kind of burning with desire to evangelize and do great things. And then finally, St. Bridget is a model for what I call the charitable style or a model lover. So the three, Kevin, Patrick, and Bridget, become in essence the models of thinker, doer, and lover.
In your experience, where do you feel you fall into this?
Okay. Yeah, funny that you ask. It just so happens, by coincidence, that I'm named Kevin, mm-hmm. And I am also a Kevin. I included in the book a little self-test at the end, just 10 little simple questions you ask yourself. And then you rate yourself, you give yourself points for how much you fit in these three different answers. And each answer is geared to model either Kevin, Patrick, or Bridget. So I know my own score. I do come out as a strong Kevin. And I'll tell you a little bit where these three parts came from too, Chris. They build on different psychological theories of our personality styles, like introvert, inward-looking versus extrovert or outgoing. They also build upon the classic, traditions of some of the religious orders, that some are more contemplative orders, contemplative, and some are more active orders. So there we kind of have our thinker and doer. But I came up with three categories, and I was influenced in part by a line in a book by a French Catholic psychologist of the 1800s. Henri Jolie. And if I could read you just one line from his book that really struck me. Okay, he said, throughout the history of the church, there would seem to have been two distinct classes of saints. There are saints who personify active love and tenderness, and there are saints who personify energetic action and the spirit of eager propagandism. So that's where I got my idea for having both lovers and doers. And the examples that Jolie gave were St. Francis, this wonderful, tender, loving person, and St. Dominic, the founder of the Dominican orders, is this energetic person who's out there, you know, doing great things. So from that, I kind of took the idea of the active life and broke it into two. The apostolic style are the doers who kind of do things on a grand scale, and the charitable style are the lovers, those who have that one-on-one tender care and hospitality. So our two great models there were the apostle of Ireland, Patrick, for the doer, mm-hmm. and Bridget of Kildare, the tender, loving person, just known for her overflowing generosity, as our model of the lover.
Well, it is fascinating when we look at those three different styles, but to be well-rounded, I would have a sense that you would need to have elements of all three of those in your personality and to round out your spiritual life.
That's exactly right, Chris. One of the things I do in the lessons chapter is I talk about different virtues and gifts of the Holy Spirit, different beatitudes that might seem to be embodied most fully in one of these styles. But we must remember, you know, we're all called to be thinkers, doers, and lovers, right? We all have these elements within all of us. So part of the idea here is, you know, find that saint that meshes most closely with us and see, how can I draw upon my own strengths, be inspired by that saint, and be more like them? On the other hand, we have to realize we're all complete people. I'm a Kevin, but what can I learn from Patrick? What can I learn from Bridget? How can I shore up my weak areas and more fully, you know, give all to God and my neighbor with all that I have? So yes, I think each saint can inspire us if we're most like them. They can inspire us just as much by their differences to inspire us to grow in different directions.
That your enthusiasm and for us to allow the saints to work with us, to inspire us, it really speaks of that passage in Hebrews where we talk about this great cloud of witnesses that are essentially cheering us on. And that's really the sense I get when I read your book, that they're cheering us to keep moving forward, because they really had to struggle, especially those Irish saints. I mean, where they lived and the times in their lives, it was very much a struggle.
Oh, absolutely. You know, Patrick himself is probably perhaps the greatest Irish saint. It seems everyone knows who Patrick is, but probably a lot of Catholics don't really know his life story in detail or what he wrote, what he said and did. But you talk about the hardships. You know, he was actually born, we're not exactly sure where, but somewhere, and not in Ireland, in Britain, some say possibly in Gaul. But around the age of 16, he was kidnapped and held in captivity and forced to herd swine and sheep over in Ireland for about 6 years. When he was around the age of 22, he was able to escape and go back to Britain. But very soon after, he had a vision of an angel came to him with the voice of the Irish, he felt, were calling him back. So he spent 20 years or more building himself up, making up for his lack of education from when he was taken away, so that he could properly go back there and bring Christ to those to the people of Ireland. So just amazing fortitude in St. Patrick's case.
I do like in the appendix, that section on the spiritual styles. And under Patrick, you have, for those of us who want to kind of image what he must have been like, you present to us John Paul as someone who is a contemporary. We may be able to see those same attributes from Patrick that we would see in Blessed John Paul.
Yes, that's something else I try to do, is like draw people's minds to possible modern exemplars or examples of these styles. You know, not that we're rigidly fitting them in just one and not another. But yes, an example I give for St. Patrick was our Blessed John Paul II. You know, St. Patrick had this burning desire to take Christ's message to the ends of the earth. And at his time, they thought that, you know, Western Ireland literally was the end of the earth for them. And so, you know, we had John Paul II, you know, known for his travels around the globe, unequaled by any pope. So he, too, had this just great zeal to go to the ends of the earth to do great things for Christ. I have a table in the back that kind of goes along with different virtues also and gifts and beatitudes that might, you know, go be associated most strongly with one particular style. But one way I try to look at this is, you know, we often think of ourselves as unique individuals. Everyone's different from everybody else. And to some extent, you know, it's absolutely true. But we can also look in the terms of our common human nature. And I wrote a book called Unearthing Your Ten Talents, and I focused all on these virtues and gifts as things that we all share. Now, the approach in Three Irish Saints is kind of a middle ground there. It's not just how we're unique or not just how what we share in common, but the kind of small groupings, how we fit into different personality styles. And those particular styles might call forth some particular virtues even more so than others. So, it's not to be exclusive to say if you're like St. Patrick, you're not thinking about things or you're not loving. You know, it's not the case. But the idea is to get us to focus on those virtues that are most characteristic to us, that we can most easily develop based on our own God-given, the uniqueness of our own.
Kevin, we need to address something that might pop up in the minds of some who are listening to the discussion, that there is a difference to using these types of models to help us to grow in areas where we may feel that need to be a little bit more nurtured, either in our expression of the Beatitudes or the virtues in our own life. And those types of personality tests that some have called New Age, there's a difference between what the church can call us into by using these helps, as opposed to how they can kind of become twisted and lead us down a path we don't want to go.
That's exactly right. We don't want to make too much of this. For example, the little self-assessment I give, I say, this is no, scientific, empirically validated test. This is just building upon common sense, mm-hmm. Just to help us look a little bit more carefully at ourselves, and then see where we can build our own strengths. But right, we're all called to be complete people. You know, God wants us to honor him in the full flowering of what we have. But, one of the wonders of all the saints, they're so intriguing, is because, though they have some commonalities, they all love, they all portray their virtues, but they do it through their own, unique personalities. And they didn't have to take some New Age test to find that out. They listened to God in their hearts, they interacted with their fellow man, and they let, God use them, so whatever was within them came out. So, right, for something like this, the types there are just, a helpful common sense guide. We shouldn't make, too much of that. We're all called to make the full flowering of what we have. And also, the same with the fact that these are Irish saints. Mm-hmm. Kevin and Patrick Bridget are wonderful examples of these three ways of, honoring God through love and through doing great things and through personal care. But you could use saints from any land to illustrate this, and also from any time.
We'll return to Inside the Pages in just a moment. Hi, this is Chris McGregor of Discerning Hearts, which is a 501c3 fully tax-deductible nonprofit organization dedicated to evangelization and spiritual formation through the use of new media. Discerning Hearts creates engaging multimedia specializing in podcasts and radio broadcasts, faithful to the teachings of the Roman Catholic Church and its rich, authentic spiritual tradition. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission. And if you feel us worthy, please consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to support our efforts. We charge nothing for any of the programs that are available on Discerning Hearts, and our outreach is literally to the world. Please tell a friend about Discerning Hearts and either download our free apps, which are available at iTunes and Google Play stores, or visit discerninghearts.com.
The Confiteor. I confess to Almighty God, and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned, in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and in what I have failed to do. Through my most grievous fault. Therefore I ask Blessed Mary, Ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen.
Now we return to Inside the Pages. But there is something very unique about those Irish saints, isn't there? Especially when you look at the life of St. Bridget. A lot of people may confuse her with St. Bridget of Sweden.
We're so blessed to have both. St. Bridget of Sweden came many centuries later, but thank God that we have these two wonderful Bridgets. But yes, there is some confusion. But the Bridget of Ireland, just a wonderful story, because she so clearly embodies this one-on-one loving care and hospitality. There's a story that when she was founding her order with seven other nuns, a bishop asked them to choose from the Beatitudes, which would be their own. There were eight of them, there were eight Beatitudes, and Bridget immediately chose mercy. This just defined her, that tender care for other people. There were all these stories about her even being too generous. If I have time, I'll give you one quick one of my favorite Bridget stories. Okay, yeah, she was. Her father was a small king, a chieftain in one particular area, and her mother was a slave. She kind of had her foot in into both worlds of the noble and also the slave class. But Bridget, when she was with her father, she was constantly giving things away, and he was just exasperated. So he took her to his overlord, the king of the province of Leinster, with the idea he's going to sell her to him so she could take care of him. While she was out there in the carriage waiting, while her father was negotiating with the king of Leinster, a leper came up, and she looked around and had nothing to give the man, except her father had left his prized sword there in the chariot with her, a jeweled sword. So, of course, when her father came out from the negotiations, he found that his sword was gone because Bridget had given it away to this leper. So he angrily pulled her into the king there of Leinster, told him the story, and the king asked Bridget, "Bridget, if you were, you know, my slave, would you give away all my wealth?" And she said, "You know, truly, good king, I would. I would give away all the wealth of the land because I serve an even higher king, you know, Christ our Lord." And the story is that the king of Leinster had actually was a Christian, baptized by St. Patrick himself. And he refused to take Bridget on, gave her back to his to her father, and gave her father an even finer sword with an ivory hilt. But just in story after story, we have just Bridget showing just incredible hospitality, care, and generosity, especially towards towards the sick, towards the old, towards the slave, towards the disenfranchised.
Well, I do like the fact that you bring forward that this isn't just a characteristic of a female nurturing nature. I mean, that this is actually something that there are men who exhibit this type of a demonstration of this loving charity that is similar to Bridget's, and yet in their very unique male disposition, demonstrate that witness to the world of that as well.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. That's an excellent point, Chris, that you know, both the male saints can inspire females and the female saints can inspire us males. Many people have pointed out to the similarities between like people like Bridget and some of these ancient Irish saints and the later Franciscans. Lots of commonalities there, that tender care and lovingness, that great attention and respect for animals and all of God's works of nature. One of the famous stories of St. Kevin is St. Kevin in the blackbird's nest. During Lent, he would go out into the woods and pray for 40 days in a small hut. The story is that one day he stood there, standing with his arms in cross vigil position, imitating the posture of Christ on the cross, and a blackbird landed in his outstretched palm. And the next thing he knew, that bird started to lay its eggs. So the legend holds that he held his hand out there until those eggs hatched and then flew off, you know, day after day after day. So here we have this amazing care for God's creatures, even though, you know, of course, causing him great physical pain. And we see this too, you know, especially in St. Bridget, all these stories of tender care and love for animals and just for all of God's creation.
We're talking with Dr. Kevin Voist about his book, The Three Irish Saints, A Guide to Finding Your Spiritual Style. And Kevin, in this particular offering, it is unique in the sense that it not only presents the lives of the saints, but also how can we relate to them in this different way. And using this book for your personal reading would be very edifying, but also it can be used in group settings as well, can it?
Well, it certainly could, because I think people, you know, like I said, you want to avoid this New Age thing where you too strongly identify yourself with one type. But I think people, by nature, they're intrigued by the fact that we have different kinds of personalities. I think it would be enjoyable for people to use in groups that they could see their strengths, you know, in themselves and in others, and it would be a way to grow. There's a lot of, you know, actual catechetical material in there. I've been most strongly influenced in my own faith by the writings of St. Thomas Aquinas. So, for example, in those chapters on the lessons that we draw from the saints, they pull heavily from Thomas's writings in the Summa Theologica about the virtues and the gifts and the beatitudes, and the sacraments, the fruits of the Holy Spirit. So this is something that could be shared in groups. And there's one thing I just can't, if I have time, I'd like to say this too. These Irish saints, as you mentioned, are so wonderful. They're just bristling with wonderful tales that are entertaining, but also have a spiritual message. And if I could, I'll tell you one of an interaction between St. Brendan and St. Bridget. Yeah, hopefully some listeners may be familiar with St. Brendan the Navigator. Some of the legends hold that he actually discovered North America long before Columbus or Leif Erikson. Mm-hmm. But the story goes that he was over on the west side of Ireland looking out on the sea one day, and he saw two whales out there fighting each other. And the smaller one was really taking the brunt of it, and it called out in a human voice, asking for the help and intercession of Saint Bridget. And whereupon the bigger whale stopped and swam off, and Saint Brendan kind of stood there, you know, shaking his head, thinking, you know, what's this whale doing calling out for some land-loving saint all the way across the island when I'm standing right here? But he thinks, you know, I got to go meet this Saint Bridget. So the story is that Brendan traveled all across Ireland and went to meet Saint Bridget. Now, when he goes to see her, kind of characteristically, this great saint, she's out tending sheep. But the story is when she comes back in to see Saint Bridget, said she nonchalantly hangs her cloak upon a sunbeam. So Saint Brendan is amazed at this, but he goes and tries to do the same, and it falls flat to the ground. In fact, it took him 3 tries. And part of the moral lesson of this story was, they said that though Brendan was a great saint, thought and prayed to God many times throughout the day, Saint Bridget thought and prayed to God always. So, I mean, so as you look through these stories of these Irish saints, they're just full of these very entertaining, very intriguing episodes, and often featuring interactions between the different.
For our appreciation of what the Irish Catholics have done in helping to be missionaries of the word, of their example of fostering that, it really helps us today in our response to that Irish church, which is suffering so right now. I mean, it's you don't have to dip very far into the news, at least Catholic news, to know that Ireland is struggling right now. And to be able to have these saints who we might be able to turn to be able to intercede for their homeland would be an act of mercy on our part as well, wouldn't it?
Oh, it certainly would be. And even here, it's very intriguing that there's a story of a vision of St. Bridget. She was listening to St. Patrick deliver homilies on the Gospels, and she fell asleep. And she had a great vision, and when she woke up, St. Patrick asked her what it was, and they interpreted it. But hers was that at the first part of her vision, that things were really flourishing in Ireland, and God's love was flowing everywhere. But later, there would become very, very rough times when the deeds of the saints would be spotted. There would be great difficulty and calamity. But later in the end, God would prevail, and the light that Patrick and the others had brought, the light of Christ, would prevail. So, we do see this happening in Ireland throughout its history. There have been very difficult times, but it has come, it has come forth. It's all has come back. So we can pray, that the Irish will remember their wonderful, noble heritage, and that God's grace, will again flow in abundance.
Well, they really are 3 saints that speak even today of the new evangelization. They were much evangelizers, and as you said, oh gosh, how many years ago? 1,400 years ago. We're called to take them as models so that we too can help evangelize not only our homeland or Ireland, but the world.
Yeah, absolutely. And just that evangelistic aspect of St. Patrick, I'll give you a brief quote from him. Said within his own writings, "I preached and still preach to strengthen and confirm your faith. I wish you would all strive to do bigger and better things. This would be my glory, for the wise son is his father's glory." So here we have that drive for evangelization and the hope that he would inspire others, in other lands and other times. So just a wonderful message from St. Patrick.
In your reflection, your pondering, you're just getting to know these very strong saints, what areas in their lives did they struggle in? Because I think that's what helps those virtues grow, is that there's an acknowledgement of the vice or the pain or the suffering that they finally turn over to Christ and allow those virtues to flourish. But what were their struggles?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. For example, for St. Kevin of Glendore, a model of the contemplative person, he was so drawn towards contemplation, just solitude, prayer. He lived for 7 years in Glendale by himself, just by himself, praising God and chanting. But he was called forth by God, to let all that contemplation flow towards others and do good works. So for him, some of the ancient legends tell of his resistance. He had to literally be dragged out of that forest to do that. So here we had St. Kevin struggling with, he loved praising God, but to what extent was there also a self-satisfaction there? Because when charity calls, we need to go out, and do things when God calls on us. So we see in Kevin that the thing we need to struggle with just what's comfortable for us. Like myself, I love to read and study and could probably do that forever. But we must also heed the call. We have to go out and act and do good things. With Patrick, in some sense, it was almost the opposite. He tells a story of his youth, and he was not particularly devout at the time up until his teens, up until his capture. He just loved the simple pleasures of life. But it was when he spent those 6 years in Ireland that he was drawn into contemplation, that he would pray day and night to God. So here we have, you know, the opposite tendency. And he's a person who wanted to go out and enjoy and do good things. But God drew him to years and years of deep aloneness and contemplation.
What about St. Bridget? What would be her struggle?
Yeah, St. Bridget also, it's interesting. It's interesting. She probably, in some ways, struggled less. And when we take the personality characteristics that go into these styles, the one that's probably most associated with St. Bridget is called the sanguine. These are kind of the easygoing, loving types. And a person like St. Bridget would just, you know, they should naturally flow in towards care and loving of others. But a person like that would have to make sure that they're not influenced by negative messages in their culture. You know, if you're very easygoing, the risk there is you're going to go along with the wrong kinds of things. But we never saw that with Bridget herself. Once she devoted herself to Christ, for example, a very popular young poet, you know, wanted to marry her and offered, you know, tried to seek her hand in marriage, and she refused. And in that day, poets were like the most respected and, you know, people in all the land. But she knew that she devoted herself to Christ. So for her, you know, she forsake other things of the world. Also, with her own nuns, sometimes they thought she was too generous. She is the problem there was always, you know, keeping things in the proper balance and not giving to the point where it's also harming those around.
It is a true gift that you've brought forward to us, Kevin, and three Irish saints, a guide to finding your spiritual style.
Well, I appreciate that. It sure was a joy and blessing to me to go dig deep and to learn about these saints, because I knew very little myself. So it was a great blessing. All the saints are such a great gift from God to us, and, you know, we do well if we spend some time trying to get to know them.
Any final thoughts?
I would just say, you know, I want to thank you so much for this, for the interview. I hope we will all be inspired by saints like Kevin and Patrick and Bridget to do our best in terms of our thinking and our doing and our know them.
Oh, how wonderful. Until we meet again, God bless you for everything you do for the kingdom.
Oh, and the same to you, Chris. Thank you so much.
With Dr. Kevin Vost, we've gone inside the pages of Three Irish Saints. To learn more about this book or to obtain a copy, go to tanbooks.com, the website for its publisher, Tan Books, or you can find it at any fine Catholic bookstore. To hear and or to download this conversation, along with hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission. And if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we hope you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com and join us next time for Inside the Pages, Insights from Today's Most Compelling Authors.